What happens when a brilliant and inquisitive British hairstylist immigrates to America to eventually become the first woman president of the National Speakers Association? Well, you get Miss Patricia Fripp. And in one of my most energetic and enthusiasm-filled interviews yet, we talked about what it is like to be a professional public speaker and why everyone, no matter your profession, can benefit from learning to speak more eloquently. Patricia is a bundle of energy, and what you'll learn in this interview will immediately impact the quality of your pitches, your presentations, your first impressions. I don't have to tell you to enjoy because I know that you will from the moment she starts talking. So sit back and relax. And get ready to hear from one of the most electrifying storytellers that I have ever had a chance to speak with, Miss Patricia Fripp. Hello, everyone. Today, I am absolutely thrilled to welcome one of the 10 most electrifying speakers of North America by Meetings and Conventions magazine, Miss Patricia Fripp, onto the show today. She is a legend in the speaking business, and for over 30 years, she has been delighting audiences with hundreds of keynote speeches and was the first woman president of the National Speakers Association. She has trained thousands of public speakers, CEOs, and sales professionals in the art of public speaking and an engaging audiences. She's a Hall of Fame keynote speaker, trainer, author, and much, much more. And we are so glad that she took time out of her busy schedule to be with us here today. So thanks for joining us, Patricia.
I'm thrilled to be with you.
Fantastic. Now, if you could just tell us in your own words a little bit about who you are and what you do.
That depends who you ask. If you were to ask my brother, who is an internationally acclaimed rock and roll guitarist, Robert Fripp of the group King Crimson, he would say that I am a sweet and aromatic wonder sister. If you were to ask a 20 plus year client, Dan Maddox, he would say Patricia Fripp is the most hassle-free, versatile, best speaker we've ever worked with, which is why we hire her every year. And if you were to ask me, I would say I am a woman who, as a young woman, realized that opportunity does not knock once, it knocks all the time. And the way you take advantage of it is to ask questions. And I happened to be lucky enough in my first career to be a hairstylist, working in very, very posh high-end salons. So as soon as I got to know these glamorous rich women, I used to say, what were you doing when you were my age? Did you make your money or did you marry it? If you made it, how'd you do? If you married it, where did you meet him? Good market research. And then of course, when I came to America and I became a men's hairstylist in the financial district, again, I asked all my executives, well, how'd you get to be the best salesperson in the company? What did you do with your little company that made a big company want to pay you billions of dollars? So if you were to ask me, I would say, I'm a hairstylist who made good by asking questions and taking advantage of opportunities.
I think that is probably one of the best answers to that question I have ever had. That's exceptional. And it brings up, I mean, just to start off on a tangent here, it brings up the topic of simply asking quality questions and the millions of routes that can take in your lives. It's incredible.
And this is a Frippicism. The key to connection is conversation. The secret of conversation is to ask questions. And the quality of the information you receive depends on the quality of your questions, which is so important to your audience, whether they are emerging to the next career opportunity or they want to get off to a good start. Really, the art of conversation and being genuinely interested in other people and listening to what they have to say is becoming a lost art because we text, because we talk online. And I know because a lot of my clients are the people who hire new people out of college in the workforce. And they say, Patricia, so many brilliant, they're top of the class. They look like, wow, we want to hire this person. And they are so inarticulate when they come in for interviews.
the face-to-face communication is totally foreign to so many millennials right now. Now, I want to backtrack. We're going to go back. I'm going to write that down so we can get back to that. But I want to know, in all of your questions that you asked, what inspired you to get into this field of coaching and speaking and being the professional that you are?
Well, I didn't plan it. So it's just a matter of when you start your career, and for all our listeners, and of course, you look at our parents and perhaps my generation, you know, people went to work in organizations and expected to stay for years. That is not at all the way it is now. So one, when I started and I realized at age 12, my brother is considered a genius. He isn't, but he's exceptionally bright. And I realized I'm probably more artistic than academic. And in those days, in England, in a small town, there weren't many options for women. One, I'd never met a career woman, you know, a woman who owned her own business. So I thought, well, I don't spell well enough to be a secretary. I don't want to be a school teacher. I couldn't be a nurse. The blood. So I thought I'd be a hairdresser, which for me was a very good choice. So and this is the point, start your career with what genuinely interests you. And I would say I have been superb and outrageously successful in two careers. The ingredients were exactly the same. I did not start either with great talent, I promise you, and I'm not being modest. What I started with was a real interest in a commitment to be as good as was humanly possible. Three, I had good teachers. And four, I worked harder than everybody else I'd ever worked alongside. And the bonus is I have a personality that made it easier to be successful. If you are a speaker, and there are superb, highly paid speakers and coaches and consultants who are introverts. However, I have to believe it's tougher for them because you have to be with people. And I'm very good at schmoozing the audience before and staying around and making people feel special after. Which, if you're an introvert, is I'm not saying you can't do it, be good, you've got to force yourself. Because I get energized by people, whereas introverts usually get drained of energy by putting on this public face for too long. So, that's the ingredients. Now, when I came to America, understand that was so long ago. Brandon, I never met a lot of people who've been in America, two or three, that's it. And there wasn't the internet. We knew America by the movies. And I knew everyone in America was rich and the streets were paved with movie stars. And I came for my share. And when people say, why did you come to America? I said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And I have no better answer than that. But then, so once you're in a situation, once I found myself in America, I worked in the Mark Hopkins Hotel in a beauty salon there. Again, met people from all over the country and all over the world. A great education. And because hairdressers here work 100% on commission, I had no guarantee, no sick pay, no vacation, just a percentage of what I brought in. And my boss said to me, Patricia, go back to England and bring back 28 of your friends. I'll become a multimillionaire. And I said, Charles, I never met anyone who works as hard as me. You got it. That's it. And then I went into men's hairstyling when it was a new industry. And that's when I got to talk to executives all day long and learn, you know, from them. And so that's how it evolved. Then I started traveling nationwide for a hair product company, giving seminars. And I took the Dale Carnegie course and went to Toastmasters. And with my pals that I met in the Dale Carnegie course, and this is a point, your mother is right. The people you associate with will make a big difference what your success is. So I made a point of associating with other young, ambitious, invest in themselves people. And one of the seminars we went to, because we went to every seminar and every rally we heard about and buy all the books and tapes. Anyway, I met a local speaker who was a big star, and he was kind enough to meet me and talk to me. And he said, you must go to the National Speakers Association. Now, you understand, I was 32 years old. I was 2 years into a 10-year lease on my own business. And I'm a great believer. And this you can tweet, you can write down, take it to the bank. I never lied to you before. If someone you admire and wish to emulate gives you advice, don't ask how much does it cost. Do it. And I went to my first National Speakers Association convention thinking no one's going to want to talk to me. I only talk to Rotary clubs and hairstylists because I was speaking to promote my business, because that was the least expensive way to have meet people. And really it worked. It filled my salon. So two situations occurred at my first NSA convention. One, I got discovered by a big time promoter who booked me to speak to 2,000 people on the same program with Dr. Robert Shuler, the minister from Garden Grove, who was one of the big stars at the time. And two, I realized this is a profession I could work towards. I realized it's not an overnight success. It's a long-term goal. But remember, I loved the business I was in. So I set a goal. I was very realistic. I set a goal 8 years from now. I don't know if I want to be a speaker, but let me make sure I'm in a position to be if I choose to. I want to develop the skills. I want to develop the network, etc. And as it happened, I retired a year ahead of schedule because that's when I became the first woman president of the National Speakers Association. I sold my business to my staff, and that was how it happened. So it wasn't planned. I took advantage of opportunities, or at least prepared in case I wanted to. So that's how I got to be a speaker. And for, I mean, the 80s and the 90s, it was my heyday. That's when Meetings and Convention magazine said I was one of the 10 most electrifying speakers in North America. I was speaking as many as 120 times a year, delivering keynotes to audiences as large as 9,000. However, Brandon, and then this is the next secret. When you are actively engaged in the world, giving good service, maximizing opportunities, and developing your skills, and frankly, outworking everyone who works around you, you listen to the marketplace, or in my case, I would say, I listen to my customers. And a couple of conversations changed the direction of my life. So one, certainly I still keynote conventions and I speak at conferences. However, how I really make my living came from questions from clients. For example, I was speaking for a Fortune 500 company, and the national sales manager said, Patricia, I liked your speech, but I loved how you delivered it. Can you teach our salespeople to speak this way? Because it takes us a year to be in a position to deliver an hour presentation for a hospital board. It's worth $9 million a year if we get the business. And we're losing business has nothing to do with our offering or our product. It has to do with the presentation skills of our competitors are better than ours. And of course, the seminar I put together for them is not what I would do now. However, she opened the door to make me realize it does not matter how the economy is. When you can help your clients deliver better sales presentations than the competitors, you will always be in demand, good market or bad. Then, because I was the first person who would ever at National Speakers Association say, oh, I work with speech coaches. And I, you know, I have a tendency, as you might understand, to overdo everything. I took screenwriting classes. I mean, a lot, over a dozen screenwriting classes. Not that I have any interest or talent being a screenwriter, but you got to admit, Brandon, Hollywood knows how to tell a good story. And when you can take Hollywood principles and help executives make their kick off the January sales meeting better. I even hired, I met a choreographer. I said, do you know anything about speaking? He said, no. I said, let me hire you to watch my 3-hour presentation, give me feedback. And he said, Patricia, you use the width of the stage magnificently. You don't do enough with the depth of the stage. So you see, I was a junkie. I hired anyone who could help me get better. And then people would say, oh, can you coach me? And I'd say, oh, go to Dawn, go to Doc, the people I work with. And then I was speaking for, see, you asked me one question, I do 40 minutes. I delivered a speech for a personnel company. And after my speech, the president spoke and we sat down having lunch. And she said, do you do any speech coaching? I said, oh, a little bit for my friends. And she said, I wish I was one of your friends. I got home an hour later, there's a message on my machine, and it's my kind of woman, great energy in her voice. And this was the opening line. I don't know if you do this. However, if you do, I want to buy you for my husband for his birthday. That a great opening line. And said, 7 of my salespeople came to your speaking school and absolutely loved it. My husband is a great speaker, but he has a really important presentation. And if you do executive speech coaching, I want to hire you. And I thought, God, that's twice in an hour. I get the message. And that was when I put my shingle up as an executive speech coach.
Wow.
So that is the snapshot of my life and perhaps, hopefully, a few principles, because although my story is different than our listeners, Brandon, the principles are the same. When you are out there in the universe, and sometimes I'm a bit slow. I mean, dozens of people have said, will you coach me? Before I realized, come on, I am now ready to do it.
I love that. I mean, I've filled up a whole page of notes just within that section there. And I think the way that you went about it, knowing that it's not going to be an overnight success, studying from the people who are best, and then going to different fields and managing, you know, screenwriting and choreography, and to put all that together is what
comedy writing, acting, everything.
It creates such a compelling story to build that presence on stage. And whether you are, like you said, whether you're doing a sales presentation or it's a keynote speech, or maybe it's just making a great first impression, having coffee, you can use all of those skill sets in so many different aspects of your life.
And you see, you bring up this point, Brandon, because I know a lot of people, I'm not a public speaker. Outside the privacy of your own home, all speaking is public speaking. So just as Brandon said, it's having coffee, it's interacting in the employee cafeteria. It's, do you realize you might be, if you work in a big company, you might actually be in the cafeteria and the chief financial officer is pushing his tray behind you. What you say to him or her that is interesting and memorable. In fact, one of the exercises I do, I deliver a presentation every year for the American Payroll Association called Selling Yourself and Your Ideas to Your Senior Management. And one of the exercises is think of who might be a really important person. Could be someone on the board of directors. It could be an executive or a leader that you know who they are. They don't know who you are. Or it could be a dignitary from your town, but you get in the elevator on the second floor and you go into the 10th floor. And there is this really important person you have about 30 or 40 seconds to make an impression. And I get everyone to write down, what would you say? Because that is public speaking. And again, it's taking advantage of opportunity. If you meet someone, and let's just say it's an executive in your company, it's amazing when people, and I give them a couple of minutes to prepare, they usually say too much, or they usually talk about themselves too much. So what you might say is, how'd you do, Mr. Smith? I'm Patricia Fripp in the payroll department. Your remarks in the annual report were superb. Or, I watched your speech on YouTube and I love the point you made about. So it's a matter of, say something of interest that prove you're in tune.
That you know who they are, what they do. That's exactly it. I love it. Now, it's funny, you've answered half of our questions that I haven't even had a chance to ask, just through your stories itself. Now, of all of the skills that one can learn, would you put public speaking or speaking in general up near the very top, or would there be some other skills that you would say would come first?
Well, of course, I have a certain bias. So let's start with, where it doesn't matter if you're trying to get your first job, if you're looking for your next opportunity. And here is the bottom line. Especially if you're getting out, you're a brand new MBA, you got your college degree or whatever it is. Please do not assume, because you are well educated and you are smart, that will get you the success you want. And anyone who's been in the workforce for a while knows, if you have brilliant ideas and no confidence to share them, you don't get credit for them. So it's a matter of being able to communicate, whether it's to 1, 5, 10, 50, 500. It will help you no matter what you choose to do. So yes, you have to have good work habits. You have to be fairly, and I don't say, you know, we all have the areas that we're good in. And so it's all public speaking, but it always imagine, and this is true, I know, because my clients say, and I know some of my students have been the person. For example, young man who worked for me, Steve, and he had a great personality, and I used to send all my staff through the Dale Carnegie public speaking course, send them to Toastmasters just to develop the skills. And after he worked for me, he got his dream job working for a concert promoter. He worked part-time, but now he had the dream job. And one day his boss came into him and said, Steve, I want you to go to this industry conference and I want you to present this point of view on behalf of our company. Now, can you imagine, he's the newest hire. The boss is either he didn't have time or he didn't have the confidence, but because Steve had the skills, he got that opportunity. So you might have someone more senior, but if they don't know how to tell a good story, if they don't know how to get the point across fast, if they don't have the confidence to walk in a room of strangers and shake hands and introduce yourself, the opportunity will go to the person who can. And that was true with Steve.
That's exactly it. If you've got that skill set, you become the go-to person. Not only are you helping your company, you're also helping yourself, because like you said, it just presents more and more opportunities. Yes. Now, if someone is looking to improve their communication skills or this skill set, what would be the advice that you would give them?
Well, one, becoming a great speaker, it's not rocket science, but it's probably, to do it superbly well, maybe a tad more complex than some people think. So it would be a matter of self-study and practicality. But you can't get to be a better speaker without speaking. So one, I would say, go to FRIPP, my name, Fripp, V as in virtual, T as in training, Fripp Virtual Training, frippvt.com. You can take a trial. But this is the best of what I have learned in 40 years of studying speaking in a very easy, digestible way. Young people love it. You can get it on any mobile device. The courses are set up into chapters, into digestible chunks, 5 to 8 minutes, and make it part of your consistent. It's very cost effective. It's easy, convenient, quick. Then that's what I would do to develop your skills. If you work in a company that has a Toastmaster club, join. If you don't, Toastmasters is, it won't teach you the quality of information you'll get in Frit VT or from a senior speech coach, of course, but it is a very safe, supportive environment to help develop your skills and your basic skills and get you on your feet. So that's what I would say. Some self-study with the online learning, Frit VT, find a Toastmaster club, or within your group of friends. You know, my pals I met in Dale Carnegie, we met weekly. We called ourselves the Future Millionaires Breakfast Club. And you know, so we would be a support of each other, because it's very difficult to be creative in isolation. So find some other people who want to improve their presentation skills, and maybe have your own little group just where you practice and give each other good feedback.
I love it. Once again, it's surrounding yourselves with the individuals that want to succeed, that are going to be supportive of your dreams and goals, cutting out the negativity and going for it. Now within, whether it's a speech again, or whether it's a first impression, those first few seconds, the first minute, is so critical for building rapport, getting someone to like you. So what are some of the tips that you would give in terms of making that first impression, ensure that you're on the right foot?
Let's look at if it were a meeting or a networking group or a company picnic, take the initiative. I do not care if you are shy and introverted, take the first move. And the principle of all communications is the audience or the person you are talking to is more interested in themselves than you. So that is perfect. Go over and ask a question or make a comment. So for example, these are some of the techniques I use. Let's just say you're at the cheese dip. You know, you're the food. You might lean over and say, oh, have you tried that yet? You know, or, oh, does that cheese look good? Or, don't eat that if you don't like spicy food. You know, talk about what's going on. I'll also, you know, walk over to people and say, you get the prize for being the best dressed person here. You know, just something. Or, you look like a friendly person. I don't believe we've had the pleasure of meeting. I'm Patricia Fripp. Now, at a lot of events, people have name tags. So you can go over and say, Mary, okay, I see you're from Cleveland. You know, my father-in-law comes from Cleveland. You know, just pick up on the name tag, but just start. Now, if it's a presentation, let's just say, And you select, give me a situation that you believe some of our listeners might in fact be in when they're going to be delivering a short presentation.
So let's say it is the weekly meeting for your office, and you've got maybe 20, 25 people, and you have to share your pitch.
Perfect. Now, if you are leading the meeting, And this is an exercise, Brandon, I use, you know, raise your hand if you have weekly, bi-weekly or monthly meetings. Yeah, everybody. Keep your hand up if you honestly believe everyone looks forward to it. Now, this is years of informal research. So I say, well, as of next week, you are going to do something different. So you're going to do what you normally do. You send out the agenda, ask if there's anything added to the topics. And then you're going to start, you're going to walk in, and as soon as people are set, you say, welcome to the marketing department Monday morning meeting, and you are in for a treat. The fact that it's different. Now, why are they in for a treat? Just to keep life interesting, we are going to add two new elements to our meetings. One, we are going to go around the team, there are just eight of us, and in one sentence, share what you are most proud of work-wise in the last week. Then we are also going to invite a manager from all our different departments to come and give a 5-minute presentation on what they do in their division and how we can help them. We will also be looking for volunteers who would like to go and discuss how marketing plays an important part in their department. So we will be looking for volunteers to do that.
Instantly engaging.
Yes. Now let's just say it is your turn and you got 6 minutes to give a report on what you've done. Well, most people waffle around. And have you noticed, Brandon, people who say stand up and give 2 minutes. Well, what do? They waste 30 seconds, say, well, I can't say anything in 2 minutes. Yes, you can, but you have to think about it in advance and you might have to script it. So, for example, is thank you for the opportunity to update you on last week's ABC project. On behalf of our 6-member team, you will be excited to know, or it could be as simple as, last month, the ABC marketing team was challenged too. Since then, we're proud to report, blah, blah, blah. We had a snag in this area, and this is what we're doing about it. And we reached out to ask for clarification from, and so you see, it's just a simple logical structure.
That's exactly it, because the structure is not hard to formulate, but if you don't talk with any structure at all,
you'll ramble.
You ramble, you lose, you waste all of your time, and then no one remembers what exactly it is that you talked about.
Yes. And what you can also do is you might say, so remember, when you talk about the such and such project, when you talk about our project, whatever it's called, and please do, remember to tell your colleagues that bullet, 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 bullet. We look forward to hearing your feedback.
I love it. Now, like you said there, the close is so critical. The close, people just stop talking, whether it's a speech or a presentation. Like you just said, they don't recap. They don't give anything for them. There's no call to action. So what are some of the ways that someone can formulate a proper closing?
Well, let's the principles are the same with a segment of a meeting as well as it is if you gave a presentation. So Every presentation, whether it's a 5-minute or 30-minute speech, is built around a premise, a big idea, a central theme. And what I ask my clients is, if you had one sentence rather than 45 minutes, what would you say? Now, if they answer in a paragraph, I say, no, you're giving me the street structure. What is the big idea? So, for example, and just because I introduced it, when I speak for the American Payroll Association on selling yourself and your ideas to your senior management, the premise is, the big idea is, every payroll manager can sell themselves and their idea to the senior management. Now, if you make that claim, or if I was having coffee, what are you going to talk about? And I said that, oh, I want to do that. How do I do that? And so your talking points, what I call your points of wisdom, prove your premise. It reinforces how you do it. So that is the simple framework. Now, you're going to open with impact, close on a high. And it's always good with every, because as a speaker, you are known for what you talk about, your content, your subject matter. So that, obviously, a lot of the stories and examples and the techniques, I teach to every audience. However, you have to look at it if you're a sales professional, a sales manager, a professional speaker, someone giving their first presentation. The content might be the same. The point of view and the examples would be different. So it's the big idea, the talking points. Now, you're not necessarily going to write the opening or the conclusion first. You're going to work on the body of the speech. And then how you introduce your talking points. Let's give a couple, whether it's your meeting or whether it's a speech. You introduce an idea. Now, I don't know what it would be, but let's go. It could be, how our new technology is going to make our company more efficient. So within that, you introduce a new idea. Then you're going to give me an explanation. What do you mean by that? Now you might give an example. So when you boot up your computer now, this is what it looks like. Once we've installed this, it's going to look like that. And then this is, now what do you want them to do with this? We are, don't be nervous. You cannot break your computer. Yeah. And what we're doing is setting up some round bag lunches where you can just go hands-on with somebody else's computer and just play with it. All right. So then perhaps you want to, another talking point, you might put your subject, your talking point, into historical perspective. So you'll remember, in January of 2015, we made the decision to install this application, and it has been wonderfully successful. Now, however, this has now changed. We're a lot bigger. We're now international. Or we downsize, whatever it is, because this has changed, or because technology continues to evolve, we are building on what was a good decision, but taking it to the next level and doing this. Now, what this will do once it's implemented for 6 to 12 months, so it's past, present, future. So it could be makeup of the audience. So it might be, if you are a novice speaker, now if you're more intermediate, now if you're so good you should be teaching the seminar yourself, this is how you would look at this technique. So you see, that just puts it together. Now let's look at some of your options of how to open. It could be, you could start with a question. And it could be, going back to the workforce, when you think of marketing, what comes to mind? Do you think this, this, or this? Now, how I might use that is, if I were to ask you, is 2017 the year you absolutely guarantee that you quadruple the quality of your presentations? Perhaps you'd say yes. Perhaps you'd say no. Most likely you would say, Patricia, I would love it to be. Can you tell me how? Well, great news. You're at the right place at the right time. Let's roll up our sleeves. And the next 3 hours, you will learn. Or you could start with a statement, your opinion about the subject. I often start with, it never ceases to amaze me that intelligent, well-educated, and ambitious professionals, frequently overlooking developing the number one skill that is guaranteed to position them ahead of the crowd. Namely, developing the ability to stand up and speak eloquently with confidence, or at least stagger to their feet and say anything at all. You could start with a story. You could start with an interesting statistic or little known fact. Now, if you do that, you might add an emotion to it. So it could be, would it interest you to know that 72% of professionals who can speak without notes earn 38% more than the counterparts? Or would it horrify you to know that the amount of litter in the San Francisco Bay now chokes 2/3 of the seals? Now, I'm making this up, I don't know. But you understand, you can shock, you can surprise, you can interest, you can horrify.
You have to engage.
Yes, yes. Now, here is one other technique. Because a lot of speakers, and it is a good way to start with a question that says, have you ever walked into a room with strangers you really wanted to meet and didn't know what to say? What I always suggest is you add one word. How often have you walked in a room with strangers not know what to say? Because if you, have you ever, yes, and I lived through it, I don't need your advice. But if your question is how often, all the time, now I'm going to pay attention. So you see, the bottom line, my approach when I'm helping people, Brandon, is to put your words under the magnifying glass. So one, you get your structure, some initial scripting, you talk through it. But when it comes to a good speech or a good sales presentation or a good anything to make it great, you have to analyze the quality of the words in the order that you use them. Now, here is a frippicism, and I am on a mission, Brandon, and I am failing miserably. To rid the world of sloppy speakers. And I mean, this is not brand new people. This is executives. These are senior sales professionals. And the question, I work a lot with engineers, brilliant people. And the question I ask most of my clients more than any other question when we're wordsmithing is, specifically, what do you mean by thing? I'll say, if it weren't a thing, what would it be? Because specificity builds credibility. Use specific language. So for example, in your career, let's just say your company sent you to a trade show or at a networking event, you had a table. And you come back and you've got a report to the boss. Oh, you said, boss, oh, we got tons of leads. No, you didn't. If you had a ton of business cards, you will still be dragging them out of the conference room. Tons is weight. So to add specificity, to position you over anyone else who ever manned a trade show table, is you say, having a trade show booth was a very good investment for our company. We had a 3-person team, so we could guarantee there were always 2 people at the table and 3 during the highest activity. We had approximately 500 people come by the booth and we scanned their cards. Of this, 100 were existing clients and 4 of them have requested a demo of our new software. We are excited to report that 125 were legitimate prospects, of which the internal sales team has already reached out with 1 mailing, set up 16 appointments, and by the end of next week, we will have contacted every single person. Our recommendation is next year, if we do it again, depending on if we close the sales, we expect that we would probably expand the size and budget to take 1 other personnel with us.
And what you do with that statement is provide so much value to that senior leader, to that executive, of what you did. You did the same work, whether you walk up and say, we got a bunch of leads, or whether you enunciate and eloquently speak like you just did. What that proves to that executive is that you are more than capable of whatever task they have to give you.
And one, you obviously realize the importance of why you were there. And you are thinking ahead and you couch in it was a good investment. And you're adding specific information. Now, if you were the leader of a team, you might say, I was especially proud of John. He's only been with in our division for 4 months, and he was masterful. He really, before he left, he sat down with some senior sales professionals and asked all the questions he thought he would be asked so that he could sound like a seasoned professional. There were a couple of really hot prospects. He respectfully interrupted Mary and said, or set an appointment to come for them to come back and talk to Mary because she would be in a better position to actually close what could be good contracts. So you see, when you make your team look good, if you're the team leader, it reflects on you. So never think you got to keep all the glory for yourself. Share it with your team. Because you know, if the boss goes to John and says, here, you did you really took going to the trade show very seriously. Congratulations. Oh, well, how did the boss know? Obviously, your manager told them. It really builds a great team approach, which is what working a trade show is.
That's exactly it. And I think with a recurring theme of so many things that you've said today has to do with preparation. Being a step or two or three ahead, preparing your thoughts and analyzing it so that you can speak in a way that connects the dots for everyone else. And that's really the goal, whether you're speaking in a one-on-one conversation or you're speaking to 10,000.
Yes.
I love it. Now, I'd like to know, you have given our listeners more value than I could have even anticipated here. But to finish up a few things, I'd like to get to know what's going on in the Fripp camp currently. What new projects are you working on?
Well, the Fripp camp, as it were, is, the biggest challenge always is time management. I don't care where you are in your career, time is very difficult to manage. My focus, of course, is on my online learning and introducing it to everyone as much as possible, because when I work with sales teams, if people are up to speed with some self-study, it maximizes their investment and gets results a lot better. So that's a very important aspect. And I am very lucky. I have a lot of long-term clients who work with me whenever they have to work on their presentations. They have new associates. And for me, at this point in my career, it's marking out my calendar to have a lot of fun. And whenever I have speaking engagements, for years, I was so busy racing in and out of cities. Whenever possible, I add one or two play days to every business trip.
I love
it. So that's for me. But that's this point in my career.
Gotcha. Now, I know that you've been an inspiration to many, but who would you say is an inspiration to you?
My brother, Robert Fripp.
Legendary guitarist. I didn't realize until I was reading your website and made that connection, because I had heard about both of you separately.
But
never bridge the gap. Absolutely. And now, here's a fun one. If you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, future, fact or fiction, who would it be?
Winston Churchill.
And why?
Because what he did for the British people in probably the hardest time in our history, which was really holding on until America came to help us. And as a speaker, Winston Churchill could get ordinary, everyday people to fight in the streets just with the power of his words on the radio. He did not need a PowerPoint.
That's real speaking. Now, let's see. I think I've got
one. What I would say is to everyone, go see the movie Dunkirk.
Yeah? Is it? I haven't seen it yet.
It is a superb, true, well-represented adventure story. But that is the time that I talk about. That is what Winston Churchill had us do.
I love it. I'm going to have to add that to my list. I haven't had a chance yet.
It's an adventure story. And you might be of the generation, you don't know much about World War II, you don't know much about England's point of view, but it is, talk about teamwork, talk about collaboration. It is an exercise of what ordinary, everyday people can do.
Wonderful. Now, final question here. We'll wrap everything up. I know you've got lots to do today. Do you have anything that you wish I had asked, or do you have any final words of wisdom?
Well, your last words linger. And let me conclude by saying, well, two comments about this. One is, I hope you'll remember me, Fripp, F-R-I-P-P. However, much more important than remembering my name, remember what Fripp stands for. Frequently reinforce ideas that are productive and profitable. And then tell me what you say you want. Show me 1 week of your life and we'll both know if you'll accomplish it.
Wow. Those are incredible final words.
That's my job.
Goodness gracious. Well, Patricia, I have to say, thank you so much for joining us. You've shared so much wisdom. I will be in touch. I would love to do this again. You have been a delight and a half, and I know that I'm going to have a heck of a time trying to write a description of everything that we talked about today. But I know you've got lots to do, so I will let you go. But I really and truly appreciate your time being here with us.
My pleasure. Look forward to the next time.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. What did you think? Let us know your favorite tip, favorite thing that you learned in the comment below. We would love to hear from you. And if you know someone who's thinking about being a public speaker, wants to be a public speaker, needs to speak better, anything at all, go ahead, be a pal. Send them this link. Send it to your coworkers. Maybe they could use it during their Monday morning meetings. Remember, sharing is caring. We appreciate it. We would love if you gave us a high five, thumbs up. It means the world to us. Below, we've included links to Patricia's website, her YouTube channel, her virtual training, her books, everything and more. So if there's something that we talked about that you would love to discover, dig a little bit deeper, it's all right below there in the description box. As always, please click subscribe, either corner. Every Wednesday, we're going to be releasing brand new interviews with industry experts and influencers so you learn the very best tips right from the source. On Fridays, we're breaking down different personality types and different difficult behaviors. Mondays, we've got all sorts of fun things going on. Lots happening on the channel. We would love to have you join us. Don't miss open enrollment on our Millennial Magnetism course. Click the link right down below in the description. It's got all the information about how you can unleash your inner awesome in only 10 minutes a day. Talk to anyone, master first impressions, tell engaging stories, read body language, everything, and more. But until next time, ciao for now.